part of their life.
Yeah.
That's rare. You know, most people are just content and don't consider the, you know, whatever possibilities for the future that there might be.
Well,
and I'm like that.
Yeah. You know? Well, let me see. When I went to Vietnam, I was, even before that, this can go on for quite a while.
Because you've got the meeting.
When I was in the Philippines, I was very a social activist, anyway.
Okay.
And I had a problem with the Marcos government, and I was...
This was even before martial law.
I knew when martial law, I left in 72 in August, and martial law was declared in early September, I think.
And
my friends were saying, I know why you left, you knew it was coming. and I knew that it was going to come, but I didn't know it was going to come soon, you know, after I left, anyway. So I had my thing. Let me tell you, honestly, I was a very anti-American government, and maybe that has a reason why I was kind of a little bit aloof from you know, Americans in general at that time when I was in Vietnam. And
I went to UP Diliman.
Yeah.
Before martial law.
I was in Los Baños campus.
Yeah.
We had our own thing.
You had your own thing. So trust me, I understand.
Yeah. And so
I was in some meetings as an acceptable American.
Okay.
So
don't
worry.
All right. Okay. And so when I was in
I was called Kapol, you know.
I was also very much a member of a social democratic Christians anyway.
Okay.
So
yeah.
Christianity has a lot to do with my being a social activist.
Mm-hmm.
It was a combination of a lot of things.
Yeah.
And so when I went to Vietnam, I was kind of hawkish. I mean, I was kind of hawkish also. It was hawkish in a way violent even in some
mm-hmm.
in some ways. But you know, I was in Vietnam and that changed because of what I've seen. The average ordinary Vietnamese went through with the war.
You were hawkish. So I don't understand.
Was hawkish, you wanted to bust the communists, then bust the communists, something like that.
And so you were actually anti-communist, although activist.
I was. At that time, it was just not now. I don't think that was kind of right. I mean, I feel, maybe not much. I should not be hawkish. I guess I was kind of violent at that time, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that all changed after my tour of Vietnam. In fact,
after your tour.
Yeah.
But it was probably, was it affected by your experience in Vietnam?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Although at one point, now this is just, you know, a stage in my life anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, the My Lai massacre.
Oh yeah.
There was a time when I justified that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is really a very, you know, very.
It's a personal odyssey.
It's a stage in my life where, you know, you just, because I went through an experience in Hue, where I was with Steven and an American woman volunteer, and I was mistaken by the Vietnamese at the market and at the bus station to be like a Vietnamese woman fooling around with all these Americans, and they threw banana peelings at me. We were eating soup, and at the market they threw snails at me. And I was so pissed.
Oh yeah!
I was so pissed, and here I was just grumbling about what these members I'm here. My life is at stake. I mean, I wanted to come here because I thought I would be able to do some help, you know. And here they are. They think I'm doing, of course, this, you know. And I was just so mad. And at that time, I thought of this American GIs, you know, at Milai.
Mm-hmm.
This could happen. This could have happened to them. And they didn't realize, you know, they would just...
What they were doing in reaction.
Yeah. They just reacted. And I had exactly the same reaction. And I was blind at that time. I was so upset. I was so angry. And so at that point, I justified the My Lai massacre. That was terrible. But, I mean, these are the things that are happening. Happened to people, it happened to me. If I were a soldier at that time, I probably would have done the same thing. I am so mad at you guys. Just do it, you know. And this would have happened to this 20-year-old soldier.
Or 18-year-old.
And just, you know, wipe out the whole village or the whole family. So these are, you know, it took a while before I synthesized this thing in my brain.
But eventually you moved at least a little different in the position.
Yeah, oh, definitely I did.
How did that happen?
It's just, you know, I guess I was maturing and I was reading and I was just constantly seeking anyway, what is the, you know, the right thing anyway. And I eventually realized that, well, there is nothing that I could do with being angry and being violent and being, you know, I guess with love and caring and being tolerant and something could come out of it. But being, you know, on the other extreme is nothing is going to happen anyway. It will become worse. There is just no hope with that, you know.
Just keeps on going.
Yeah, it is a circular. I can't think of the right word anyway. But so that was my experience anyway. So the Vietnam. My Lao and Vietnam experience were really foremost in my life.
Oh, yeah. Many years.
Yeah.
When you, 4 years with Operation Brotherhood.
And
2 years with IVS.
With IVS,
At that particular time in your 20s?
Yeah. It was.
Of course it's going to be formulating. Wow.
But, so those are...
Yeah. Wow.
I guess that was...
It's getting late.
Yeah, okay.
I
thank you, and I hope you pick up a few things from there anyway.
Oh, I think so. I mean, I've had a delightful time.
Yeah, and let me go get some juice for you.
Okay, and you know...
Yeah, and I'll tell Stephen to come back.
Yeah,
and if there is anything else that you think will...
Well, I told this to Frank and Nancy that... You know, they were saying, gee, should we fill in these forms? And I said, because what happened to them maybe is what's happening now to you and to Steve,
uh-huh.
that in anticipation of my coming,
oh,
you know,
I did not.
But no, in anticipation of my coming, you started to think more back.
Oh, no, wish I had done that.
But no, but,
yeah.
Well, they have. Well, maybe now.
Oh, they did,
maybe
yeah.
Now you'll say, well, what did you talk to him about? What did you talk to him about?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And other things will become triggered.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I think the form would be good maybe to set aside for a few days.
Yeah.
And then to take a look and see if there, you know, was something maybe that will get triggered that's coming up.
Yeah.
Because what I'm told, and there's no time on this trip because it's so fast,
yeah.
is that sometimes it's good to go to someone, sit down like we have done for an hour, maybe a little more.
Yeah.
And then wait a few days, come back with follow-up questions.
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
That would be
because
good.
Because there are some that are coming up to my mind anyway.
Even
right now, yeah. And so
you could make a couple notes just on a pad of paper, and then maybe in about a week, say, I've got all these little notes, these little buzzwords,
good.
These little keywords, and I'll write to him, and, you know, that will, it's not a very good substitute for my coming back in a week, but I can't.
Yeah, you can.
I'd love to come back, but I don't think my school would let me.
Well, what I can do is I can send it to you through email. Would that be okay? And then you can just have a hard copy.
Mm-hmm.
Or
made up.
Yeah, made up, and so you can file it in your, you know.
Something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Because that will be, I am, I'm telling you, I can't live without email and without a computer right now.
I can't either. You know, one time I took work when I was visiting my father, and I had only a pad of paper and a pen.
Yeah.
I had to write something. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I need
my keyboard.
I don't. I have to, you know.
Just pause.
Okay.